Welcome to the Fabric Podcast, as we return to the concept of Care IQ. In a live gathering of Fabric in South Minneapolis, we came back to an important look at how we engage in supportive relationships when a different level of care is required.
So I'm Melissa, and I welcome you, whether you're feeling more on the hurting side or the hoping, healing side, it's all good. Welcome. We're talking about Care IQ, and if it was, you know, as easy as a bookmark and listening to a few podcasts, we wouldn't need to talk about this, right? But it's not that easy at all. That is why I'm so glad to have Jen Markworth with us today, here to help. And we were going to also include Chris Lillehei, who is a chaplain at Children's and also a professional in caregiving, and he is home with the stomach flu. We love him, miss him. But Jen and I are going to have plenty to talk about. You have plenty to share with us. So Jen, besides being a licensed psychologist, is currently serving as a training director with Lynn Lake Centers for Wellbeing. And she oversees the training department with the clinical supervision program, internship program, and professional development. So you're training the trainers. So, I mean, we got the best of the best here, people. Right, Jen? So you pretty much know everything?
No, I do not know everything. So that's the first disclaimer, is even though I am in the biz and have been in the biz for a while, I don't have all the answers. And I am not a fixer. I don't fix anyone. And what I hope to bring today is from my experience and the lens that I've lived through and worked through and some of the things that I've experienced that I hope will be helpful for everybody. But it's definitely just from my experience, and I am one in a sea of many, many amazing other mental health professionals who we do this work together in community and collaboration. But I'm super thrilled to be here and be a part of this conversation. So thanks for letting me be here.
Yay, thank you, Jen. There are, you know, even though nobody has all the answers, right, there are perspectives and practices that we can wrestle with together. So that's what we get to do today. And there's people, Mark and Hannah, are passing out bubbles. Just take them. I don't know why. Jen just said people should have bubbles. So just accept it. We'll find out later, right? I also want to say thank you to Bill for that awesome welcome. And Bill is ready for your questions this morning by post-it note. You can run them down here to him. You can also text the number that's on the top of the Sunday paper on the back. Jen, we've gotten a lot of like professional affirmation that these tools are strong, that they're great. And I have been heard someone say, and I really like this, that they really help care to flow. We're about helping care flow, both in the giving and the receiving. And there's so much nuance and challenge as we actually try to do that. When we try to put these tools to work and we try to use them in the real world, they look so clean and tidy on this bookmark, and it's not like that, right? So I thought that'd be a great way to start is just places or ways that you've seen, Jen, where care gets stuck, where we get stuck as we're trying to be giving care that's actually helpful.
Absolutely. First to think about in this example, when Jack is having someone, a friend, who's going through something difficult and not knowing how to respond. One of the things I've experienced both professionally and personally is that we have a tendency to, when something really challenging is coming at us, we kind of go into our fight or flight, our mode. And so we want to jump in and we want to fix it all for them and give them all kinds of advice and tell them exactly what we think they should do, or bounce them out. I don't know how possibly to help this person. This feels really, really scary. I need to run away. And so a lot of, and some folks freeze. I mean, that's another response we have when we're feeling some sort of threat. And that can be, our system can take that as a threat when we're not sure how to respond, when we're not sure what to do. So I've seen people kind of go both ways.
So it's kind of like, I want to jump in and be the hero, or I'm out, I'm completely helpless, or at least I want to pretend I am. It's too uncomfortable.
Too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or intense. You know, the discomfort could be for all kinds of reasons. I don't have enough tools. I'm experiencing, you know, my own stuff. So it's not from a place of not wanting to necessarily not wanting to help, but just having our own reaction to the situation, which can be really hard.
Yeah. I can't relate to that at all. Anyone else?
Jen and Melissa, I have a question from somebody, and I think it kind of
goes
into this.
In.
And it falls under the widening the circle. What do you do when the person, from your perspective, from a number of people's loved ones' perspectives, needs professional help and won't seek it out?
And won't seek it out?
Yes, that the person is not ready, you know.
Sure. Yeah, that's a really, really hard one. I know I've experienced that in my own life with loved ones and both friends and family. I think one of the things that we can do on just an individual level is be extremely consistent with our words and our actions with that person to let them know that we are there no matter what. In some instances, they're going to have that epiphany or that action within to want to make change, but we can be a consistent, loving energy and presence in their life, and I think that can go a long ways in helping them whenever they're ready to make those changes. Now, you know, if it's an emergency or a crisis, sometimes we have to kind of ramp up what we do in terms of supporting them. We do have a resource that we're going to talk about a little bit later. That's kind of relates to if it's more of a crisis mode, what folks can do. But my initial thought is just being that consistent, loving presence for them. It may sound like it's nothing, but it's huge to be a consistent presence in someone's life.
It's actually a really great question illustrating like how easy it would be to get stuck in like, this is too scary, I need to force something that you actually can't force, or I can't handle this. And remembering, wait, we do have things we can do that we might not think are enough.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I kind of think that is an interesting connection with the second place that you mentioned when I asked you this about common places where we get stuck or where care kind of gets stuck. Can we jump to that one?
Sure.
That tendency to insert ourselves, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're gonna do our role play.
Yeah. We're gonna do a role play, and you can just feel it. We don't even have to explain it. So for real, I can share that I was recently visiting my parents, and I want to say if this is the one time ever that my dad listens to the podcast, I love you, Dad, and maybe this will be a good entry point for us to talk, because when I was with them last weekend, it was kind of a roller coaster, Jen, with seeing my dad's dementia, I think, and I think there's some alcohol complicating the situation, and one minute he's this person I love and who has loved me, and he's so affectionate to me and to my stepmom and just this, you know, loving presence. But then there's this other person who I hardly know, and just seeing his life kind of shrink from this very engaged, thoughtful, you know, conversational person who's having a lot of trouble, and I don't even think he kind of knows who he is and recognizes his own self sometimes, and it is really awful to watch and hard to see, you know?
Yeah. Wow. So, two responses. One could be, That so reminds me of my uncle. That happened to my uncle's family, and my aunt, I know what she did. She decided to move my uncle into assisted living, and that was so helpful for the family. So I so relate, you know, that also happened to my uncle.
All right, thanks. So let's try another one, Jen.
And we're doing this role play also so that you can sort of experience what happens in your own body when you hear the role play and you hear the response. And not that this is I think that this is a really common response that we're wanting to join with the other person, and it brings up our own experiences. And so we wanna jump in and share also, like, I get it, you know, like,
yeah,
that
actually
happened to me too.
Totally, guilty.
Yep. So it's a very human thing to do, but I also want you to notice how you feel in your body when that happens and what it brings up for you. Now,
I have had that happen and have seen it, and I felt like unseen and like, oh, suddenly this isn't about me anymore, and I guess my story doesn't really matter. It's not really that important. Maybe I should just chill out or something. Mm-hmm. Or maybe this shouldn't be so hard. That's kind of how it felt to me. So what else can we try?
Yeah. So one thing to think about, and especially I think, too, we don't always know what to say, and so we want to launch into something. One thing to think about is just, it's really simple, is just, wow, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's really a lot. Your family is really going through some stuff. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Someone said that to me this week, for real, and it felt good. Yeah. So, thank you.
Yeah. So in that, in just being present, again, sometimes it's just the simple of just acknowledging the tough stuff. You don't have to fix it. You don't necessarily have to run away. You can give yourself a moment to pause and just be present with the person to acknowledge that it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean, I mean, like if I was telling you this, and I know you're in a similar age bracket and your parents are around, and you might be, you actually are dealing with this. So I am interested in your experience. It's not that I don't want to hear about
Sure.
your experience, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think, yeah, so the thought, though, is we don't want to hijack what's happening for the other person with our own story right away. First to acknowledge and just be present with them. And then it may be after, you know, that's I'm really, really hearing what you're saying is that's really hard. And I get it because our family's going through some of the same stuff. And it really is hard to see our parents get older and struggle and not know always how to help them and to take on being that caretaker for our parents. It's really tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine saying, I don't know if you're interested, but let me know if you ever want to talk about you hear what it was like, you know, for my family, or hear if you want me to connect you with someone else I know who's maybe going through this, let me know if that's helpful. It kind of comes to that, how can I be helpful, you know,
yeah.
like actually trusting the person to know and tell you what they need and when.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, is it maybe, it can we, is it bubble time? Yeah.
It could be, yeah, it would
so
actually
what do
be
we
really
do?
Good bubble time.
So what should people do?
Who has bubbles? Can you take them out and blow some bubbles?
That's it. Just blow some bubbles.
Just start.
All right.
Just blow some bubbles.
And do we have any questions, Bill? Any additional?
We do. We actually have.
Why don't we like jump in on a couple?
Yeah, we have a follow-up because I think what's interesting is you are modeling a situation where you're providing care to kind of tertiary, not directly to the people in crisis, but the people who are around the people in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question that I had asked was around helping somebody directly in crisis in that kind of caregiver role. somebody followed up with, sounds like there's some boundaries that need to be set too. So yeah. I think that's another piece that a lot of people struggle with is, how do I keep loving this person when they are hurting themselves over and over again?
Yeah.
And I need that to change for myself, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to mention, as people are blowing bubbles, I want you to think about what you notice about the bubbles. The people that aren't blowing the bubbles, if you can look at the bubbles that are being blown, and just notice, just take in what you're noticing about the bubbles and blowing the bubbles. Coming back to this question, you know, one of the things we talked about is the first part of the toolkit being, excuse me, what is my role? And, you know, Melissa and I were talking about, when I look at this list, this isn't a linear list, you know, that you go down the line, or you have your toolbox and you just take out, you know, they're all organized and ordered and you take them out orderly. I think this keeping yourself healthy is actually awesome that it's at the bottom. Because it really reinforces everything else that's on the list. And so with boundaries, you know, understanding, being able to care for yourself and have ways that you are caring for yourself so that you can be centered and present for yourself, and that if you can work on your own self-care, that's going to affect all of these other things with figuring out what your role is, understanding what your boundaries are. Maybe my boundary is I can't do everything. I don't have the bandwidth to do the everything for you, but I can text you. I can say, hey, let's go for a walk. I can bring you coffee. These are the things that I can do. But I think you have to have some good self-awareness of where your limitations are in order to do that and be present for someone else.
I feel like that circle, the widening the circle for me, you as the caregiver, is so huge there, because sometimes we can't see what is going on by ourselves. Like, it's so hard to have that perspective on what I need and what I'm, like, that it's normal, that I'm feeling like I'm going crazy because I can't make my loved one do the thing that I see so clearly, you know? And just to have other people like be with me and helping me see what I can do to take care of myself. I don't know, like you mentioned something you heard here like years ago.
Yes.
Does that come to mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not gonna get this completely right, but this is what I remember from it and what I still take from it. I am only one, and I cannot do everything, but I can do something, and I won't let what I can't do stand in the way of what I can do. And I don't know how close I got it to what it originally was, but that idea of, I may be only one, but I can do something, and that's going to be enough. And yes, I'm going to reach out. Who are the other people in this circle that I can reach out to? You know, you can do research if it's somebody who really needs therapy or treatment, you know, widening your circle of who are the professionals that can help you with those resources. NAMI Minnesota is a really good resource for families who are struggling with loved ones going through difficult things. They can be a great resource. That can be all aspects of mental health crises and issues.
I put that number for COPE on the side of the Sunday paper. Mm-hmm. Are you going to tell us about that?
Yeah, we'll just go into that now since there's the follow-up question is strong.
Yeah.
So COPE is another resource. It's through the county, and it's a 24-hour crisis service where if there's something happening in the home and there's a crisis, you're not even sure. You're not sure. It may not be that your loved one is necessarily in imminent harm to hurt themselves, but there's a concern, and you're feeling like you need extra help in the situation, they will come to your home and they will help you assess what's happening and help you create a plan for how to address whatever is going on. And that could be that they recommend, if someone says, I cannot promise that I'm going to keep myself safe, they may recommend going to the emergency room and seeking out the potential for being hospitalized to keep the person safe. They can't transport anybody, but they can come to the home. And that's for all ages. That can be for adolescents and kids, and that could be for adults as well. So that is a great resource in Hennepin County. I believe in other counties there are similar programs as well, but this is the one that I'm familiar with in Hennepin County. So there's a little bit more of a specific tool, a resource
for pretty serious
for something
situations.
Pretty serious.
And if we don't know, we can always call the number and they'll help us know.
Like, they'll help you, yeah, figure
like,
it out.
This, yeah, what is this that I'm, where am I, what's going on, yeah.
And I think maybe we'll just to say right now also, we know that this is a really hard time of the year coming off of the holidays. I mean, even the practice that I work at, we saw a huge increase in folks reaching out for services right after Christmas. You know, there's a lot that happens in the holidays. And it's a tough time. And so just an awareness that this can be a harder time for people just in general also. So to be checking in on your people. And I know there's been a lot of conversation I've seen around, so there's some recent folks in the media who have completed suicide that, you know, well, I had no idea, and they seemed so put together, and that can be true, and just to continue to reach out and try and continue to connect, and that through that connection and consistency, to know that person knows that you're there for them.
It's okay to talk about it, right?
It's okay to talk about it, yep. Because you bring it up doesn't mean that that's going to push the person into doing something to hurt themselves. In fact, it may help them to know that it's okay to talk about, that you're okay, that you can be that person, that space for them to talk about it. Or it could be a boundary setting with, I'm not sure I have the skills or the bandwidth, but if that's what's happening for you, I want to help you with it, and let's figure out together, you know, how can I help you with that, and how do we widen the circle for what you might need to help you in that situation.
You shared something interesting with me I thought was helpful, that it's fairly common to have, like, ideation for self-harm or suicide.
Absolutely.
And that is hard for me to say out loud, and sort of, I kind of get it, like, just a thought, like a, you know, right? I mean,
yeah,
I'm gonna let
so
you say
there's
it.
There's research that through the course of our lifetime that all human beings at some point will have some sort of depressive episode, whether it's something chemically or it's an event in their life, but that we as human beings, that is something that we will experience at some point. For some period of time in our life. And with that then, it's very common for folks to have questions about, you know, existential questions about the meaning of my life, the meaning of being alive, or to feel so overwhelmed that you just want to check out. Whatever checkout means, that doesn't necessarily mean that someone wants to end their life, but that folks get to the point, we get to the point where we're so overwhelmed, we want whatever is difficult to stop. And so to normalize that, it's a human experience. And that, again, if we can talk about it together, it takes away some of the shame and the fear, which when we're in shame, we feel very isolated and alone. But when we can share, it helps us feel humanity together, just like sharing with about your dad, and for me to then share about my parents to bring us together. You're not alone. We're in this together. So it's common, and it's okay to talk about, and yes, to know your boundaries. I can only do so much. I can do this much, but I can't do that much. Is A-okay?
hard.
We have more questions, or follow-up, actually.
Like this idea of supporting somebody who's struggling, if the person won't seek the professional help they need, they're dealing, you know, with alcoholism, drug health decision, you know, choices, eating disorders, and we stand by as consistent support, there's a worry that we're enabling that destructive behavior.
Yeah.
So
I totally get that, and that's absolutely true. And I think that's why also widening that circle, using resources like COPE, using resources like NAMI, to reach out to professionals.
Recovery groups,
yes, to get their resources. You know, this could be a follow-up conversation, kind of, I would say, offline also for other more specific resources, because it's hard to go into right now in this setting, but with adult mental health and things that people can and can't do in order to force someone to get care is, you know, there's different laws and so forth that limit sometimes what we can and cannot do. So a combination of yes, we don't want to enable the person, but we do want to be consistent. And how can you widen that circle to find those other resources that can potentially help?
I feel like asking that question in the first place is a good sign. Like, okay, I want to pause, which is one of the things you've talked about. Is that power of pausing and even asking the question.
To follow up to that, it also sounds like the people who are the caregivers widening their circles, like how Jack talked to a professional, to ask, what should I be doing? To understand better of what is harmful and what is helpful in that situation might be a valuable thing for people to do if they find themselves in these situations where they feel like they're enabling destructive behaviors and aren't sure how to support their loved ones.
Absolutely.
And I think that's such a common question in the recovery circles and Al-Anon and groups like that, that it is a real question, a messy one. Yeah.
So one thing we talked about that I'd really like to get to, and it kind of deals with the bubbles.
Good. Perfect.
Yeah.
This is so helpful.
Is to talk about, again, when I talked about, you know, number one through six, the keep yourself healthy part, I really, really believe that to be able to, you know, utilize all these other things, it's really how are you taking care of yourself? And mindfulness practice, there's different mindfulness practices that can be extremely helpful, especially in that something's coming at you and it's, oh my gosh, I don't know how to deal with this. In how our own systems get amped up or react in ways that we can work on centering ourselves so that we can be grounded and figure out ways that we can respond so that we're not jumping in, we're not running away, we're not hijacking.
We're not enabling. As best we can, yeah.
Right, yep. And so this idea of power of the pause is how do we slow ourselves down in order to kind of assess what's happening for ourselves so that we can be grounded. So bubbles. I love bubbles because, and I keep them in my office, because when you blow a bubble, you have to breathe. Basic number one. You have to breathe. And, you know, if we're not breathing, we're not, our body isn't regulated. And so just initially breathing and thinking about we also know in our nervous systems, if we have a shorter in-breath and a longer out-breath, we're activating our parasympathetic nervous system. I think of it as like a parachute. So it brings us down. It signals our body to relax. So blowing a bubble.
Yeah.
It's having a physical reaction on our body. It's also helping us stay in the present. We watch the bubbles. We can watch them move. We can watch them pop. And so it helps us to stay in the present. We're not judging. We're just being present with it. And it's also helping us to be childlike, which Okay, I'm guilty of this. How many of us adults are way too adult and don't take time to play?
Yes.
Like two arms, right? So blowing bubbles is a wonderful mindfulness practice to get you centered. And I'm just going to crank through these.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crank through.
So we also have on the your handout rain, and you have some fill-ins. And so I'm going to go through what the fill-ins are. So RAIN is an acronym. It's really developed by Tara Brach, and she's a psychologist. She's also does a lot of meditation work and self-compassion work. She actually has a toolkit that you can, or a self-guide you can download for free about RAIN and multiple types of meditations that you can do with this concept. I use this, a flavor of this with clients all the time. I use it with myself. So you first have what is happening, thoughts, feelings, behaviors. First you want to recognize. The first thing is, so think you're driving down the road, and you're like, you're noticing that you keep perseverating, you keep ruminating on something you said, something you didn't say, a thought or a feeling that you had, and we can relate this to a conversation with somebody who's going through a really tough time. And you're like, I just can't stop thinking about this. So the first thing is recognizing what's happening. The second part, the experience, is to allow and or accept the experience to be there. Accept it just as it is. Okay, wow, I am experiencing this big, huge discomfort, whether it's whatever it is. I'm just gonna let it be there. I'm not gonna judge it. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I'm just going to accept. I may even thank it for showing up. Thank you, anger. Thank you, shame. Thank you, discomfort, for showing up.
Wait, wow.
Yep.
This is big.
Because
this is where people get stuck, I think.
Yep. Just let it be. And it's hard. It's hard. Yeah. But if you can thank it, because it's sending you some information, it's giving you some messages about what's happening in your system and what you need to attend to for yourself. And then the next is to investigate with interest and care, whatever that comes up.
Still no judgment.
No judgment.
Curiosity.
Curiosity. What is it my system needs? What is this trying to tell me? What do I need in this moment? Why is this showing up now? And you have to do the allow and accept before you do the investigate. Because if you don't do the accept and the allow, you're going to go into the investigate with all kinds of judgment. So you have to just let it be before you can get curious. And then once you get curious, maybe something comes up. Oh, wow, this is triggering that part of me that just really, really doesn't want to disappoint people. There it is again. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, this is about my people pleaser part. I just always really, I really want to make people happy. Okay. Oh, this is triggering that memory. Their experience is triggering my memory that is full of emotion and sadness. And I didn't realize that was going to come back and hit me right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get nothing. We investigate and nothing comes up. And that's okay too. And then the last part is nurture with self-compassion. Okay, now I've gone through this. What can I do to take care of myself? And we are horrible at self-compassion. I even say that to clients about self-compassion, and they're like, ooh, self-compassion, that's, ooh, yuck. I don't want to do that. But it's so, so important. Because if we can do that, then we can come back to all of these things with figuring out what our boundaries are, figuring out how to listen, figuring out how to ask the other person, how to widen the circle. All of those things can flow out of this practice. So I love it. RAIN, it's easy to remember. Again, you can go to Tara, her website, and find out more information about it as well. There's the whole meditations you can do on it as well. So there's no right or wrong about it either.
So can we ever, when does the judgment come in? It does feel like it creates space where we choose, right? We notice, we're curious, and then we can make new choices out of, to me, that big space of where I can breathe again and like, oh, I'm okay. What do I need? What do I want? What do I want to do? Like, making a new choice can happen, it feels like, there, where it couldn't before. So, powerful stuff. Really great questions and thinking and practicing in this community. I really appreciated your just encouragement, and I think we all need that, Jen.
Yeah, like, well, and that you're having these conversations and being present for this is huge. I mean, it's just huge, and it's wonderful. And trust that you all know some stuff about how to be comforting and be with humans. Trust that you, for all the things that you we feel like we don't have answers for, trust that you do have some answers, and you do have some skills and things that you can offer. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be really simple. And that can be enough.
Can be enough. And that's why, I mean, I truly am so grateful to get to practice this and talk about it. I know in my own group, we were talking about how much easier it is to ask for help when you know everyone else is thinking about boundaries and thinking about that they are also a caregiver and a care receiver, and they're trying to take care of themselves. It's so much easier to ask for help then, and it's so much easier to offer help knowing that it's going to be okay to say, oh, I can't today, I can't do that. What about this? Or what else could be helpful? You know, we're doing this together. It's not me as an island trying to be everything or figure everything out. So if this isn't sacred work, I don't know what is. You know, we've got ourselves that we're caring for. We've got others, including our youngest people, who are caring for us, and we're caring for them. And this third strand, this mysterious, big, all that is God strand, this energy, this force of life that is on our side and is a healing presence, and we have to keep reminding each other. We are loved because we are loved, because we're loved. That's it. That's it. So may that be so. May that be the
amen.
The peace we can feel in this moment.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.